after every Sunday morning. We barely make it down to the railroads down here, and we're talking about the experience that we had at church. And it's interesting how sometimes my wife will say the singing, and I'll say the Sunday school class, and next Sunday it'll be the preaching, and Rose will say the share time. And I've pondered what causes us, what causes me, I'll speak for myself, what causes me to relate specifically to certain aspects of our gathering here. For me, it has a lot to do with my experience the week leading up to it. Six weeks ago, I'm safe there. The first thing I said was the share time. I don't know if you remember what it was. It was when Mary Jane Nisley and spoke about her struggles and her health. And she didn't say it, but when you hear people speak, you hear sometimes emotions that aren't actually spoken out in words. And it was either before Mary Jane or after Lillian Nisley spoke about their daughter Sherry. Similar expression of pain, their patience being tried, and not getting any quick answers. There's a quote, and I desperately tried to find it this morning, and I've heard it, but it says, in the midst of our pain, we as Christians don't build shrines. We don't bring offerings to the shrines of pain. But we see these as opportunities to see God's grander work. And I'm sorry, I know I'm butchering the quote, but that is the essence of it. And neither do we turn to the Greek goddess Achilles, who wipes away pain. So if there's a title, and I don't give titles to my devotions very often, my title this morning would be, Who Will Do What? And I was reminded that there's more than two occasions that I'm going to talk about this morning in the Bible. But one of my original thoughts went to where, and you know, when you're young and you read Bible story books, you get these images in your head. And the first image that came to me was Moses, this battle unfolding in front of him. And he's trying to hold up his arms. And Aaron and Hur are beside him holding up his arms. Joshua's out there doing battle. Moses had a battle to win. But I'm suspecting after, and the Bible doesn't say how long this battle was, so I don't know, but Moses' arms got tired. And I would suspect, I was thinking this morning, well, how long do you think Moses held up his arms before he noticed that he couldn't do this very long? And one part of the story that I've missed, but it's really meaningful, is that before, or it says that Aaron and Hur set rocks for Moses to set on. And I don't know, I suspect when Moses would put up his arms, well, so did Aaron and Hur. Their arms got tired. So they set Moses, it says they set rocks, and Moses sat on those rocks. And then they came alongside, and it was easier to sustain his arms in the upward position. Imagine poor Moses there. every time his arms get weak, he sees the battle going one way. When he raises his arms, the battle may go this way. Imagine the stress of being on a hilltop watching your families, the people around you being hurt. Friends in this case made the impossible possible. Now, I was thinking, when I read that story, I thought what Mark would have done is I would have sat him down and then I would have built a wall of rocks where he could just rest his elbows on. Now, yeah, it's sort of funny, but what would have his friends? They would have had some labor at the forefront, but they could have just sat back or gone on their way because his arms were pinned against rocks and his arms were just in the upright position. Well, that's the Old Testament account. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to Mark 2. And I want to read another account where friends made a huge change and gave a man hope. But Jesus made the greatest changes to this man. Mark 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, What if this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So here we have, and it's you ponder what the conversations were, what kind of faith and convincing words that this paralytic man had for his four friends. We're going to go to Jesus. We're going to go. And here's another image that I had, but you know, if you think about it, if they let down the bed that he was laying in, let's say it was a 2 by 2 foot by 6 foot, that's 12 square feet out of a roof, not just a little manhole, but there was some effort put into getting this man in front of Jesus. And there's one thing that I think is very important to note here is in verse In verse 5, he says, when Jesus saw there, it wasn't only the paralytic man's faith. It was their faith that helped. And so I ponder this as I think about not just Mary Jane and Sherry, but all of us, who at times need the brotherhood's help, who need people of faith around them. There's no one here that can say, when somebody stands up and asks for prayers and for help, there's not one of us here from the back row to the front row that can say, I have nothing to offer. I'm so sorry, but I have nothing to give. No one is excluded. So I ask myself, who will set the rocks in order? That the weary can sit on? Who will hold the arms of the feeble? I am so pleased to be surrounded by people, as all of you are, friends whose faith you can see and you can feel it. The kind of people who truly care about the difficult circumstances that surround us from time to time. And I hope that this morning, as we ponder our situation here, that we as a body of believers can be a group of believers who, without caring of the inconvenience of the sick and the ill, that we will set aside time and effort to help those who need it most. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for being with us and meeting us here. I ask that as we worship you, that you would give us a desire above desires to honor and glorify you through all aspects of our life, whether it's the joyous times or not joyous times. We want to honor you with our lives. Dear Lord, I thank you for this brotherhood. I thank you for friends. And I thank you for people who truly love you. It's because of their love for you that this place and this brotherhood is a safe place. And we honor you for giving us your word and your promises that are forevermore true. We ask that you go with us through the rest of this day as we continue to worship and honor you. May all be said and done to your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.